You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
So, Sunday, we were looking at Do Not Judge, and I hope that you found it helpful. I found it helpful and very convicting. So, what I'd like us to do is just for a moment, just talk to the person next to you, and if you weren't here on Sunday, just ask the person next to you to fill you in on what stood out to you from Jesus' teachings. Okay, just for a couple of very quick minutes. Off you go. Okay, let us bring it back. And so verse 3, which we weren't able to look at on Sunday, which was kind of saving for today. I'm not actually going to be doing much of the teaching. You are. It's going to be an interactive lesson. Okay, so you're going to be doing the teaching for the majority of the class today. But let's start with this one. So Jesus goes on. So he's initially started out by saying, do not judge, because if you do, you'll be judged in the same way. Then in verse 3, he says this really kind of strange teaching. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before swine. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. What on earth is he talking about? So, is he talking about judgment? What do you reckon? Is he talking about judgment? What do you think? No? Why not?
I think it's more, when I think about pearls and swine, I think more of like, not judgment, but correcting. Like,
you don't know. Thank you for trying. Thank you for attempting, Zahid. You were very brave. Joe. Okay, talking about the word of God.
Dogs and swine, he's referring to the Pharisees.
Okay.
He's talking about the people who are trying to look holy and act holy, but they're not really. So he's actually referring to those people. I think he's talking about the pearls could refer to the kingdom. The holy, obviously, is something that's holy, or the word of God.
Okay. So he's saying, don't give the gospel to the Pharisees because they don't deserve it.
No, not necessarily. The dogs and the swine are pretty much the Pharisees. This is what he's talking about. No?
Okay. All right. Let's see. Josh. Possibly. I think we're getting a little bit closer. Yeah. Interestingly, who does he use the word dog to? The Canaanite woman, right? And actually, it's almost like a term. He's using it there as almost like a term of endearment. It's a different word to here. So there, he's actually saying, he says to her, look, we don't really give, you know, the crumb or the food to the puppies, to the little dogs. Not, this is a different use here. So this is much stronger here, but we're getting close. That's pretty good. Okay, Robin.
I've always thought of it as someone who does not receive the gospel. Like, I've tried to teach people, and they reject it. They throw back in their face. I'm
yep.
Like, why am I wasting my time?
And yep.
Not open to receiving the truth of the gospel.
Awesome.
So I don't force them. Anybody who doesn't want it, no. That's what I want.
Like, yeah.
If they don't want it, wipe off your feet, go to the next person.
Okay. That's exactly it. Yeah, that's it. Very good. Yeah. So Dallas Willard on this, that's exactly how he addresses it. He says, because otherwise we're making judgments when Jesus just said, don't judge. So he's saying, because if you think about the pearls, does a pig really want pearls? This pig seems to. But do pigs want pearls to eat? No, of course not. It's useless to them. It's of no benefit to them. It's not helpful to them. So just as Robin said, if you're trying to give the message of the gospel to someone who's not interested, don't waste your time. You may end up just causing way more, you know, contention than is necessary. I remember a family member of ours almost died with a serious heart condition. And, you know, Cherie said, oh, we really need just to reach out to them. And so we went over to visit them and just to check that they were okay. And I kind of cornered him in the kitchen. And I said, listen, God has really spared your life. I said, have you thought about, you know, really just turning yourself over to God, just surrendering? And he's like, I'm not interested at all. And then I kind of pushed a little bit more. And he's like, CJ, I'm not interested. You can leave it. And this was kind of, that's what he's talking about. And if I'd have gone again, he would have just trampled, you know, all over it. So I was like, okay, I get the message. That's really what Jesus is saying, okay? So be wise, be discerning. And I think discernment really is the key to this passage, okay? Be discerning of who you give the message to, okay? Here's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. If you remember in John 16, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world, helping people and judging people, judging their consciences, bringing people to Christ. And so we need the Spirit, and the Spirit was at work in all of our lives before we came to Christ, so that when we were able to be face to face with the Scriptures, we were able to receive it with some level of discernment because the Spirit is already at work within us, okay? So that's what I think the passage is all about. Some other things just to keep in mind. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, otherwise he will become wise in his own eyes. What is that about? It's saying, if you continue in that back and forth with someone, you're going to be just as foolish as them by rejecting, because you're not picking up that they're not interested. But if you just keep going, don't be a fool like them, okay? Read the room, people. That's what God's saying. Read the room. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5:12. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? He says, listen, don't bother judging, especially people who are not interested. That's not our place. It really isn't. However, and we're going to talk a little bit about this today, we do have a place to be able to discern, to examine, and to pass judgment in a spiritual way on things within the community and the family of God. Okay? All right. And this is another scripture. The reason I'm giving you these scriptures, and I'll have them later, is because you're going to be using some of these for your teaching. So back to discernment. 1 Corinthians 2:15. The person with the Spirit makes judgments, examines, discerns. That's what this word there means. About all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. So spiritual people, we are called to make discernments, to examine, to make evaluations on spiritual matters. That's our role. That's our job for one another and for ourselves. Okay? So here are some thoughts, just some conclusions based on what we've looked at from Sunday and today, and then I'm going to hand it over to you guys. So first of all, Sunday's message, do not be legalistic or condemning when it comes to judging others. That's for God to do. Okay? And he certainly wouldn't be legalistic. Secondly, we must check our own hearts first before we bring things up with other people. Because there might be something behind why we're wanting to bring something up with someone. There may be something that's in us that we have to examine and make sure that we are not coming from a critical lens or a critical perspective. Okay? That it's coming from a pure heart out of spirituality. Thirdly, be discerning over whether we should say something at all. You know, it's amazing. This week, I was thinking about bringing something up with someone, and I was like, you know what? It just doesn't feel right. And then they contacted me, and the very thing that I was going to bring up with them, they acknowledged, and we got to speak about it. But I could have stirred up that if I hadn't really listened to what my conscience or the Spirit was trying to say, which was, don't worry about it. But I know that we can sometimes be really quick. Oh, I've got to say something. Well, let's just pray and leave room for God. Because he's way better at this than we are. You know? So also we must be discerning over what we will say and how we're going to actually say it. Because that can often and sometimes do way more damage than even what is being said. Finally, we are to make judgments, just judgments, of those in the church and help restore one another with gentleness. Okay? These are all our responsibilities of what we should do. Okay, so don't worry, I've got that later on another slide. Okay? So, what questions do all of Jesus' teachings that we've seen, what do they raise to us in this family, in this church community? The reason I tell you this is because on Sunday evening, I was having a phone call with someone, and he asked such a great question and said, CJ, I know I get what you were teaching, but what about this situation? What should we do in this scenario? So what questions does this raise for us to have to consider? So I'd like you to talk with the person next to you and then just share just some of the questions that we might have as to how do we apply Jesus' teaching in our context? What might be some of the issues that we might come up against? Does that make sense? Yes?
Yeah. No.
Okay. 1 minute. Quick discussion. Okay. Sorry I have to cut you, but we're running short on time today. So, what questions did you come up with? Issues that we have to consider, Lauren?
Mm. But how do we, like, Jesus met people all the time who he didn't agree with, but yet he still
did it so graciously. So I think, like, how can we not compromise our convictions while also not being judgmental? Because being judgmental and not having strong convictions is easy, but, like, what's that like middle ground?
Are you referring to convictions with people in the church?
I was more thinking like the world, but I think it can be both.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Let's hold on to these questions. Jolene.
I think that some can take offense on even leadership.
Okay. Yeah. And we talk about within
community even? I agree. Okay. Good. Oh, thank you. Yeah. So people might, even within the community, may take offense of being even gently corrected. Okay, so yeah, great point. Good issue. Saheed?
Comes to mind is, what is the condition of my heart in relationships within the church? I think, you know, think about what is my heart in different relationships, whether it's someone gently correcting me or me having to correct someone. I like that you brought that up. That's kind of really what Jesus said. We're talking about the Spirit. What is the spirit of which I'm coming from with what's going on?
Yeah. Okay. Take.
My question even tonight came up of, like, when you're trying to figure out when to read the room and when to kind of let things fall as they may, how do you tell the difference between knowing how to read the room or adjusting the format of the message? I've had situations where the mode of messaging, the mode of outreach wasn't compatible, and so do I try different approach, or I read the room and let it go? Like, I guess I don't know when to fold and when to hold.
Okay. Good question. We'll have just two more for time, Ben and then Kirk, I think. Okay.
I think, like, there are disciples and Christians that, like, we don't agree on anything. So someone might come up to me and be like, Ben, your stance on abortion is not hard enough, bro. You need to blah, blah, blah. And then I'd be like, wait, like, what? You know, and that's just an example. Like,
yeah.
Tons of issues like that.
Yeah. Sure.
So what do you...
Great question.
Okay, go
ahead. I was part of a group, and we would ask, would you like some advice?
Yeah.
And just that question is really kind of freeing. Mm. Because sometimes people would say no, and that's okay.
Yeah.
They don't want it right now. Like, so why am I going to throw some pearls to my brother, who's a Christian, who can tell you right now I'm not willing? But most of the time it was yes. So that's why I'm bringing it up. Sometimes it would be, that's why I'm bringing it up. Can you please give me some advice?
Yeah.
Just starting that way, it shows people your spirit and your heart.
Yeah.
because you care. And that's huge.
Great, thank you. So I have four potentially hot topics, or some are hotter than others. And I would like us, you guys, within your little groups, yeah, not hot pockets, okay? So what I'd like you to do is to take a look at the four examples that I have. I've given you scriptures as well. You're welcome to use other ones. How do we apply the principles that Jesus is presenting to these difficult topics? So I'd like each one at least to be covered by, you know, at least by one group. But if there are multiple groups that really like one of them in particular, that's totally fine as well. Okay? So let me go through them. Right, first one, dating outside the ICOC. Whoa! We're going there! Yeah! We are going there! So, how do we apply the teachings of Jesus, okay, to this very hot topic? There are some scriptures. Okay, doctrine, baptism, how do we apply, again, this idea of judgment, not throwing pearls to swine, with things like this. Giving advice, bringing something up with someone. So you've mentioned, you know, a couple of these today. So what I'd like you to do is to kind of gather with the people around you and decide which one of those you would like to tackle. We may go a little bit over time. Is that okay?
Yeah?
Okay. So talk to the people around you. Get into like maybe groups of five, four, five, six, something like that. Decide which topic you would like, and then I'll go around and find out that we've got everyone covered. If you feel confident about the argument that you are going to be making, then please, you know, be willing to be able to share. And so remember, what we're doing is we're trying to present an argument based on how would Jesus address these particular topics, okay, based on his teachings. And it's important that we look through the lens of Christ, because otherwise we can sometimes develop our own way of doing things that may not actually be all that Christ-like. It may be based in the legalism, the condemnation, you know, even though we don't want it to be, it just kind of becomes part of our culture, okay? So, topic number one, Zahid, straight up. Okay, Zahid, you can stay, we have a microphone.
Is Zoom on right now? Is YouTube? No, I'm just kidding. Should I sit here? Where should I sit?
Wherever you want, Zahid.
Right in nowhere. Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Zahid. All right. So we had dating outside the ICOC. And first of all, I want to shout out you and Steve. I think that these lessons on the Spirit have been very helpful for me personally. So I'm very grateful. So I think first off, what we're learning is that if you see dating, like, let's just say brother A and brother or sister C, they're dating outside. I think the first thing is approaching from a heart of love and sharing with them, let's say if it was you, for example, hey, CJ, and preparing them, hey, I would love to just, you know, I saw you brought this woman into church. I would love to just get some time with you too. Get some time with you. CJ, am I rude? All right. Hello, piano. I saw you brought keys. I saw you brought keys to, you know, church, and I would just love to get some time with you to just hear what's going on in your relationships with this person. So first of all, just preparing the person that you're going to have a conversation about what you share that's on your heart, instead of just coming in hot with someone. Like, I see you're dating someone. Like, preparing someone is showing them that you have a heart for them so that they are ready or not to receive what you're going to share. So I think one is just sharing, like, hey, this is just something that was on my heart. I'd like to share it with you. So getting permission-based leadership first and foremost. And then when you're sharing, asking questions and being curious. Because I know, for me, we were just talking about this, like, your heart can already be judgmental because you've been around this community and you think one way. So praying, like, God, soften my heart in the subject that I'm going to share with piano. And then asking questions from a curious place, having zero judgment, because One, none of us know spiritually how anyone is doing, and we're not God. So to have judgment on someone outside of that, whether they are, you don't know where they're at spiritually or doctrinally. So the only way you're able to find that out is by curiosity and asking questions and then leading them to wisdom, asking them, are they getting advice outside? Well, asking if they're open to getting advice in this area. And if they deny it, all right, leave it alone. So I think one is getting permission to talk about the subject, praying for yourself, praying together about the subject, and then asking questions with no leading questions, because I think we're good at leading people to what we think is the answer instead of just asking open-ended questions about their relationship and then allowing, you know, God to just make it clear.
So I think this is a really important one, and I don't have a definitive, you know, answer, I think, immediately, but I do think it's important that you think about the scripture where Paul says, you know, we are to judge inside the church. And I think there's something protective just about the community that is really important for us to, you know, whether we are the person, you know, looking to get into a relationship with someone outside the church, or whether we're someone who's aware of someone else dating outside of the church, it's to have a heart of, I want to protect the family, you know, just like you would in any family environment. And then I think I love the word that you use, Zahid. It's coming from a place of curiosity. And then I think the Galatians 6 is really important, but it's being spiritual about it as well. Not legalistic, not with condemnation, but coming from a place of real spirituality where we have to really look to ourselves. Am I even in a spiritual place, even to be able to bring this up? And then with real gentleness, be able to come alongside the person and have a real conversation. I think it is good, though, that it's not just complete condemnation, like it would have been many, you know, years ago. I think we've moved from there. But I think it's very important that we still engage in the conversation, you know, to protect the family. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I just want to say something. The posture, I think the message today, the posture of how we approach all these complex is so crucial to discernment. I mean, it is important for you guys to hear, you know, biblically it's not wrong to date outside the name of our church, right? God's calling us to yoke with fellow faithful disciples of Jesus. They may not be in our church. We can really quickly, though, jump to judgmental conclusions, yeah. And that is the training, to have discernment. But at the same time, there are, inside the church, there's an expectation that disciples are pursuing other disciples, not just somebody really good-looking, right? It seems like, you know, there's discernment, and I think you have to be a mature enough family to follow this kind of depth of training. So,
yeah, thank you. So, bottom line, I think we can say that it is not wrong, it is not a sin, but we do need to invite people into our lives to be able to just to have the conversation. Okay? All right, wonderful. All right, next one, doctrine, baptism, how would we go about that? Anyone feel confident looking at that?
So we talked about the doctrine and baptism, and I know sometimes that topic comes up when we're studying the Bible, people. And I think what we talked about is be prepared to listen. Be prepared to listen to where they're coming from. Because you understand we're not the only disciples are not in our church. There's disciples outside. But then again, if everybody who claims to be a Christian is truly a Christian, that means there's 2/3 of the world is saved. And we know there's a lot of varying doctrines out there. So basically, listen to their culture, where it's coming from. Because sometimes, and we can get into this checklist mindset, you know, like, did you repent? Did you know what you're getting into? How old were you when you got baptized? That kind of thing, so. But and then after hearing their story, now we're looking to the Word, into different, what the Word says. And instead of us trying to convince them and to say, this is what the Word says, so then see how they respond. And I think one of the scriptures there says that the spirit of foolishness will not want to listen to what the Spirit wants to say. So hopefully they'll be willing to listen. If not, we'll see what happens. We'll try to still be their friends moving forward. So,
on this particular topic of baptism, I just want to share just a quick example. So someone got baptized last year. And when the brothers were doing this Bible studies with him, you know, we looked at discipleship, and he was like, yeah, I've been a disciple. I've been trying to be evangelistic. I've been trying to make disciples. And the guy, super evangelistic. Then we got to baptism. He said, you know, I kind of think that this is what I did when I got baptized. So the brothers called me in and said, look, what should we do in this situation? And so we got together, and I remember watching a Dallas Willard video, and he addresses this very issue. And he said, because he was from a Baptist background, and yet he later adopted a doctrine very similar to our family of churches and Church of Christ background, where he believed that it was repentance and baptism were important for the necessary for salvation. So he says, when you come face to face with someone who's not really quite sure about their doctrine of baptism, he said, ask them to weigh up the pros and cons of whether they stay with their beliefs or whether they accept this new belief that you are teaching them. He says, leave it up to them and leave it up to the Spirit of God. And so I presented this to the brother, to the guy. I said, look, it's entirely up to you. If you genuinely feel like you repented and you got baptized and you're saved, then we will welcome you into the church, not a problem. But do the pros and cons. Later on, about, you know, a few days later, he messaged me and said, I need to get baptized. And I was so encouraged, because it wasn't me trying to force him to do something and coerce him to obey the scriptures. But the Spirit of God is at work within people. We just need to gently give them the opportunity to respond and listen to the Holy Spirit within their lives. And he's now, you know, a valuable member of the Westside Church. Okay, so it's a great tool to be able to do, and you give it over to them and to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Yes, Shuri. Okay. Giving advice? All right. We do have yes, Zach, go for it.
What's going on, guys? So our group did giving advice, and so we'll go through a couple of the scriptures really quick. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And I think that's super important. I think all of us, you know, we all have amazing friendships, but there's only so much time in the day and in the week, and we have to choose, you know, who are we going to really invest in and kind of be like, hey, this is my guys. These are my girls. And so, you know, I think we were talking about the idea of even just choosing five people and really, you know, maybe recognizing their fruits and being like, okay, this is like, hey, man, I want to really spend more time with you. I want to, you know, get time in once a week and really I see how your life is. And that's one way that we decided, like, hey, this is someone that I'd like to get advice from. And I think going into Matthew 7, right, it says, because I think when we start giving advice, immediately, you know, pride and our walls get put up because of the subject that's happening. Usually it's because maybe someone needs help with finances and that's a sensitive area, or someone may need to get advice about something that they're uncertain of. And so immediately we've got this pride wall, pride going on, and if you come at them too hard, it's going to be fireworks. There's going to be people, you know, sparks flying. Matthew 7:3 says, "Why?" These are Jesus' words. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" And so to diffuse the situation and to be like, hey, first of all, you say, bro, let's just say we're going into cursing, right? So this brother, let's just say Steve just like ran up the stairs and he like banged his leg and just yelled the F word, which would never happen, but just hear me out. Someone's got to talk to Steve. So I'm sure, you know, we'll have maybe someone come over and be like, yo, Steve, listen, man, Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any wholesome talk come out of your mouth. Listen, man, I used to curse all the time. I mess up all the time. And I honestly, God has protected me. I've done a lot better, but I still sometimes mess up. And I'm just saying this because, yeah, I care about you. I care about your image. And I think that's just shows that's like an example of doing that out of love. And it's like, man, we're all imperfect. We all make mistakes. But, you know, we love one another and we're just trying to sharpen one another. So that's a little bit what we talked about. Steve doesn't curse, so I've never heard him curse.
So one thing that we do need to be very careful of, if someone is sharing something with you, it doesn't mean they're looking for advice. It may just mean they're just confiding in you, wanting to get it off their chest, just talk with you, okay? Good thing to say is, hey, listen,
do you want me just to listen, or would you like me to give you some advice? And if they say, no, I just want you to listen, don't think to yourself, oh, they're proud. Like, no. Be like, okay, and then pray for them on that particular situation, okay? So it's really important. And if you do want advice, then say as well, could you give me some advice on this? You're coming from a posture of humility. It's really important, okay? Don't just wade in when it's not being asked for or requested. Okay, last one, bringing something up with someone. Who would like to share that? All right, Candice.
Okay, so this subject can be, it could be a difficult conversation to bring something up to someone. I don't think of many examples of something being easy to bring up. So a lot of times, like one of the things that you should do is first check yourself and make sure that you're not projecting into the situation. It could be something that you're dealing with that you're possibly seeing in them, but it's actually not an issue. So what you can do is just use discernment and pray and fast prior to that conversation. And asking God for guidance in how to bring it up in a loving way. Another thing is to make sure when you approach with gentleness, right? You want to be loving and merciful with judgment. You don't want to come in harsh and pointing the finger, because that can close them off to hearing what God is actually trying to bring up in their life to fix. And you want to also build them up in the conversation, because it's not like they're an awful person. It's just like something's going on that they just need to work on. And there's so many different things that we all need to work on. And if we hear that, you know, you're not an awful person, you just need to work on this one thing right now, that it comes off a little bit better.
So on that, we do well when we are involved spiritually, coming from a place of spirituality in one another's lives. Okay, it's really important. We all need help. You know, those of us who are married, we need help from time to time. Parenting, just living, okay? We need help. And so, you know, I love, especially Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. It says it's our responsibility to encourage one another. And the word there means to exhort, all right? It means to get involved in each other's business in a very spiritual way. Pointing one another to God. We have to do that. Okay, I think that's one of the things that we've kind of sometimes we run away from, because we don't want to, you know, overstep the mark. But we do have to find, I think, a central Christ-like place to do it in a very loving way. Okay? All right, wonderful. So what I'd like us to do just to finish is just pray with the person next to you. And just ask God to show you how you can continue to grow in a Christ-like attitude when it comes to judgment, discernment, and evaluation and helping one another. Okay? And then we'll be done after that. Thank you.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.